So, but before I actually talk to you about the subject matter today, I want to point out what being part of this community, why it's such a blessing. And recently, there's a few things that happened, and it is so important for us to realize that when you're part of a community, and especially as a pledging member, you never have to be alone. You're never alone. That you have someone to turn to, and for us, we have many someones to turn to. So I've already talked about, and I already thanked the people who took care of me and Seth a week ago when Seth had surgery. And that's a wonderful thing. It is good. And actually, this week I'm going to Colorado for a couple of days. I'm part of the clergy council now for the ministers creating their a yearly convocation for retreat and renewal. And so I need a little additional help, and there it was, one of my prayer partners, who was my minister, Reverend Frankie, is going to be picking Seth up every day after school this week and bringing him home so I could go to Colorado. But the point is just how I can reach out and have that support of a loving person, especially to someone within this teaching. But more than that, a week ago, Kathy King turned to us, and her daughter fell and hurt her heel and needed prayer. And so we got to scoop her up and pray her up and support her. And I'm pretty clear from our conversation that you never had to feel alone. You know, you never had to feel like you were out there on your own throughout this. And that's a beautiful thing. And I want to give praises to Spirit for... one of our members here, her son is a police officer here in West Orange, and you might not even know it. Some of you who live in West Orange probably don't know it, and it's John DeMars. It's Elaine's son. And was it yesterday? Yesterday, while in pursuit, he was hurt, and he evidently was shot at, not hit, but he got injured in the pursuit. And her faith and our community got to support her through every moment of that. So today she's here and doing nothing but singing praises to God and the intelligence and all that. And I know I'm still feeling it because I can't imagine having a son be a cop. You know what that, you know, because every day they do. That's what they're doing. They're protecting us and potentially taking their life in their hands. So we just want to sing praises to the community and to God. And every aspect of it that keeps us all feeling safe and supported and never alone. And I just want to drive that point home to you. I mean, we are never alone anyway. And that's really part of this teaching. I mean, that's one of the foundational pieces of this teaching is for you and I to get that we are never alone. We have never been alone. We can't be alone. First of all, just for the very technical reason there's only one, okay? But let's come away from the one, that there is always a source and a place for us to turn to drink from, to depend upon, always, always. It is key to what we do. It is key to who we are, to realize, wow, there's always someone to reach to. And whether that's just a prayer support or having lunch with a friend, it doesn't have to be a thing of drama. It just means that you might want to socialize. And so just, is the back door opening? Yeah. Oh. And so I thought the wind, I'm like, wow, that's a big wind. And so it's just really, that's an important key element to the science of mind and the God as we subscribe to God. And I say subscribe to because a funny thing happened last week. We had a table at the Day of Diversity, and I wanted to thank them all, but I think only Anita's here. I know Jennifer isn't here now. She's down helping with the street fair. Erica was there, and Devonda was there. Fred Smith was there. Who else? I think Olga showed up, right? And all of this was under the leadership of Jennifer Neumauer. And so they had a beautiful day there, but Jennifer told me a funny story about this woman that, you know, walked up to her and started asking her, you know, what are you? What is this about? And she said, oh, you know, we're from the Center for Spiritual Living. And she's, you know, kind of like this, all happy. And she said, we're on Eagle Rock, Eagle Rock Avenue. And the woman said, I know where you are. And Jennifer started to say something else. She says, no, I know about you. She says, and I'm really sorry that that's where you go. So Jennifer was like, kind of like a stalk at a deer in the headlights. Now, I find those kind of things relatively amusing, you know, and I fluff them off. I don't take it personally because I've done my work. But when you don't expect that coming, that could be a little shocking. And she was fine. She was 100% fine after the couple of minutes of just being shocked that someone would actually even say that, you know, that someone would say that. But I consistently try to reconcile within my own mind and heart who we are with the world today. And the reason why I try to reconcile that, because I am extremely naive in that I don't understand why you don't like us, the outside world. Like I look at us and I think you're all so beautiful, interesting, loving, compassionate, caring people. Like, what's not to like? What's not to like? I actually have difficulty understanding. Until then, I exercise myself in really separating out, and then I get to realize how truly offensive we are. In that, I could say with a lot of enthusiasm, oh, we love God, and you know, God is inside. And I realize the second I say God is inside, I've offended somebody. The second I acknowledge that I believe that there's a presence and power of God within you, I've offended somebody. I'm baffled by this. I am. And I admit to arrogance. I'm facing up with my arrogance when I have been thinking, and many of us, many of the ministers, the people in this teaching, we've been thinking, like, we're all that. You know, we're the next religion, the next order of things, the next possibility, the next spirituality, that, you know, the ones that are going to come in and provide so much love that, you know, the whole world will be healed. And so in my mind, I guess I think to myself, okay, that means that I've considered us as being extraordinary. When I realize our job is not to be extraordinary, but our job is to be extraordinary. Because in the ordinariness of who we are, we can more gently slip in and have people see that we don't have two or three heads, that our children don't have horns, that we really literally walk the walk of Jesus, maybe more than what some of the other teachings do some of the time. Because as far as I'm concerned, if someone's in your face questioning you, I want to turn around and say to them, if Jesus was standing next to you right now, what would Jesus do? You know that whole bumper sticker? What is it, WWJD? Is it WWJD? What would Jesus do? Jesus would not get in your face and question you on your religion. Would not. I stand by that knowing. And I'm not of that teaching. That's not what I grew up and through. But when I feel like I have a deep and profound understanding of the master teacher that he was, and I refuse to believe, God bless, that anyone at that level of teaching, that mystical state that I believe that he dipped into, would find fault and criticism or judgment in any way with anyone. Even if he's in total disagreement, he would find something. So Ken Gordon was here in March, and I've made reference to this a couple times, and Ken Gordon was here, and he says, okay, guys, it's time we get to the streets. It's time for us to stop hiding. And so we've referred to that a few times, and I want you to know that, I don't know if the signs went up yet today, but We are really launching our outreach team. There is a sign up in the bookstore. Good. The sign up is in the bookstore. If you want to participate and begin to find out more about outreach, we have several few weeks. Reverend Dana is here, but she has a piece of personal business she's got to care for first. But sign up on that, and then you'll see that there'll be announcements. We are going to Costa Rica. It will not be cheap. I want you to understand these volunteer vacations are working vacations where you are going to be spiritually fed, and you're going to work your butt off. You're going to pay for it, and you're going to work hard because we're there to serve, and we're there to have a transformative experience. So as far as everything I can tell, there is absolutely no reason for us right now to not be going to Costa Rica in November. Details being worked out, the package being worked out. Put your money aside, though. If you want to go, start putting your money aside. So we're doing this. Brenda has the activist team going with a lot of enthusiasm. Small team yet, but it doesn't have to be a big team. It just has to be a lot of enthusiasm. So and then we're going to get these two teams talking to each other and see what we can do collectively. So in that way, we're coming out. We're going to come out, and the thing, the way I want you to come out is, I guess I originally would have come here and said to you, I want you to come out and stop being so damn polite about this teaching. Stop being quiet. But I take it back. What I want you to do is I want you to be the most amazing, perfect you that you can be. I want you to be the most loving, compassionate, successful, healthy, faithful person that you can be. So when I meet you, I wonder, what is that person doing? I want to know, what is it that you have that makes you so faithful that in the midst of a change in your job, or a position's change, or your job has to change, that you, instead of having fear come to your face, you look and you go, all right, what's next? And then in that, you will be so in your faith that someone's going to say, how did you do that? Last week, after service, it was so delightful. What a great, wasn't that wonderful last week with all the nationalities in the cell? Oh, it was so sweet. I had such a good time. And to think that, we had 19 people here from 19 countries. I mean, it was wonderful. And like I said, it was three countries missing. Because Donnie Barnes, which I didn't know was from Brazil. She was born in Brazil. And Marlene couldn't be here. She was from Colombia. And Sage Lewis Johnson, Patricia's daughter, is from Ethiopia. Adopted, but she's from Ethiopia. She's a member. So what happened was, though, Martin afterwards, in hospitality, the gentleman who carried the flag of Ireland, who many of you don't really know yet, Martin comes up to me and he says, how did you do that? And I'm thinking, do what? He said, how did you do that? How did you get 19 different countries all celebrating one God? And in my mind, to be honest with you, I'm not thinking I did anything. I just feel like, what I've been saying about myself for 9 or 10 years now as a minister is I'm a sticker and a stayer. I'm somebody who keeps putting one foot in front of the other. I'm stubborn as all hell, and it takes a lot to get my mind off that end target. And for me, the end target is peace on earth. So I guess I need to keep going, right? And so I don't really know how all that happened, except it was part of the vision. It was the vision I caught. It wasn't something I created. I caught the vision from God. But his fascination with that was so exciting. It lit me all up all over again. And he just said, I have to hear the story. He says, I want to know what you did and how you did it. And I'm like, okay. I said, I'll be happy to sit and at least talk to you about what we did on the form level. Joe, can I have a slide, please? You hear our presiders say this every week. Some of you can probably recite this. This is a tiny bit altered from the exact presider script, okay? But this again is the result of a visioning practice. And let me explain again what visioning is quickly. Visioning is the practice of asking questions while in a meditative state and trusting that the intelligence of God through you provides answers and direction. It is not dependent on your experience, on your ego, on your personality at all. Matter of fact, if Ursina here wanted to have a button shop, okay? Let's say she, right, that would be appropriate for you. You wanted to have a button shop. But Kathy King can't sew to save her life. She's an astro engineer, okay? Kathy could still lend her consciousness to Ursina because it's not about Kathy. It's about being a loving vessel through which God shows up. So when we vision, we gather individuals that simply have the intention to be a loving vessel. And we ask questions and we listen for the answers. And so this is the process that we just now begun with Bill Sarnowski here taking leadership of our building search team. So we started the visioning, and we will keep this visioning going on an ongoing basis. The next one we do will be open to more individuals. The first one was with the team. Okay, so when I say to you, this came to me because we had been visioning and visioning and visioning, and sometimes the answers come when you least expect it. Often, and this one did, I was literally in my car driving down Bloomfield Avenue. I guess a couple things came to me that way, because I remember that was also how I got the vision for one of the solstice celebrations that we did. Now, this is not necessarily convenient, because I'm actively driving, reaching for a piece of paper and pen, because I know if I can't catch what's in my head, sometimes I lose it. Nowadays, I have the iPhone with the memo, with the memo app, so I can speak into the phone. So it came as a package, and for me, it was the most perfect delivery, the message that delivers who we are most perfectly that could have ever, to the point that some ministers have now borrowed this opening statement. So it says to you where the vibration of love lifts you. And the reason why that is important, and that's what I'm talking about, being extraordinary. It's just being the pure vessel of love, because love doesn't need much language or any language. Love will always greet love. Love will call out love. You understand? So it's not necessary for you to be an eloquent speaker or in full understanding of the science of mind teaching if you are just love, and you will love to the degree that you love yourself. And to that point of how much we can love ourselves, we allow in the love for others and we make room for others. Not one person sitting here, I don't care who you are, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. No matter what you've done, whatever you've done is forgivable. It's always forgivable. And the way I know that is because I know if you could have done something different than you did, you would have. You would have. The mistakes I made, I would not have made if I knew what I know now. But that's that trap, right? Oh, I wish I knew then what I know now. Well, you didn't. So that's where compassion and forgiveness comes in. And that's why we lean toward and into love. And so my hope always is that's the first thing that greets you here. It doesn't mean that you don't have problems. We have issues. I have issues. I have things I have to constantly take care of and pray with and get counseled for, coached for. I do it on a regular basis. But it's that vibration of love, because we live in a vibratory universe. You know when you meet somebody, if they feel good, oh, that person feels good. You know, you'll find yourself saying, that felt right, or that doesn't feel right. And that's the way we experience each other. And much more of our communication, by far more of the communication, is subliminal than it is verbal. Before you open your mouth, we can know, I know who you are. And that's the way we are with each other. And the more you pay attention to that, the more you know that. The wisdom of the ages inspires you. The reason why that's important is because we will use the Bible, and we will use the Quran, and we will quote from Gandhi and Buddha and Mother Teresa and Teresa of Avila and anybody who has something of great value. We are not here to only quote the Science of Mind teaching. The Science of Mind, where the Science of Mind teaching comes in, is application. And one of the things that we believe within the Science of Mind teaching is that your good is your divine birthright, yes? So is your good not something that you should be able to expect? Can you not consistently turn back to, wow, I actually deserve to have good? Do you get that? Sometimes you're just forgetting it. In the middle of something, something else caught your attention. You get distracted. I get distracted. When you get distracted, remember, oh, wow, my good is in hand. Say that. My good is in hand. And so your job is not to try to create the good. You have one job with four words. I accept, I allow. Say that. I accept, I allow. That's what you have to remember. That's what you have to remember. Every day in every way. When something's going on, you have to remember, wow, if my good is in hand, I accept, I allow. I accept, I allow. Now you can finish those sentences with anything you want. I accept my good and my greater good. I allow for the movement of God through me. I accept my bounty. I accept my prosperity. I accept my love. I allow the love. This is what Chris is going to be doing in her four-week class, letting love in, allowing love. Love that is already yours. It's trying to press in. The question is not, is there love? The question is, are you letting it in? You see that? But when we live from and into, I accept and I allow. I accept and I allow. Now we begin to propagate and expand our consciousness. Now some of us sometimes struggle with that word consciousness, which I have difficulty making simpler because I get it. And because I get it, I have difficulty making it less, you know, making it gentler, gentler. How you just went through this? Think of it this way. A very simple idea of consciousness, a good word to replace could be attitude. It's not the greatest word, but it's an okay word. Think of it also this way. Think of your consciousness and an expanded consciousness. Think of your consciousness as a filtering system, all right? So when we're tight, when we're angry, when we're resentful, when we're uptight, what happens is, we don't allow our good in. We're constantly, it's like a filter that doesn't let spirit or water pass through it. You know, if your filter's really tight, fluids can't pass through it. So a consciousness that is limited is a consciousness that is not allowing good to seep in. Is that fair so far? An expanded consciousness is a filtering system where, oh, I allow the flow of good into my life. I accept God as good in my life. Tight means resistance, not available. Open means available. Do you get that? See that? Kind of simple, right? So when I say consciousness, if that word doesn't work for you, because I know it's the one word that kind of trips everybody up in here, you know, or the newer students very often. Think of it just as a filter. And when you want to, and you want to allow, you open. And you open by propagating it through your affirmative way of thinking, your affirmative way of speaking. Yes? So what are the two statements you're going to remember? Accept and I allow. Perfect. That's what I want you to go home with. We teach that heaven and hell are states of consciousness. I am sorry. But does anyone need any more hell than maybe what some of you have already experienced on this earth? Now, even if they were lies and even if they were a misuse of law, you did experience it. I know, because you're alive, because you're human, because you're here. Most of us just don't get to this age without having some experience of hell on earth. And hell shows up as just not having money for that next bill. It's the or if you're stuck in such jealousy or resentment or fear of someone losing you, or there's a million different ways that you get to experience hell on earth. Maybe your hell on earth is from acts that you have perpetrated yourself and you haven't forgiven yourself yet. Please forgive yourself. Because as quickly as that hell is on earth, that heaven that is on earth is right behind it. It's right there. It's actually right in the middle of it. But if you reach, you have to reach deeper into it to accept it. You understand? So when you're reaching in, you're saying to yourself, what? I accept and I allow. I accept my good and my greater good. I accept forgiveness. I allow the movement of God. I allow, I accept, I allow, I forget. Pretty simple, yes? Okay. And so we do believe that you are the architect of your life. We do. And it's a nuisance. It's a nuisance, but I'm as gently I know, isn't it a mean and cruel cold world, isn't it, in this game of new thoughts? Tony's laughing because she's probably been trying to explain this to somebody. As gently and lovingly as I can say this to you right now, if your life sucks to any degree,
how did you know?
It's simply that you haven't relearned something new. You're holding on to something old. You've allowed the conditioning of the world to enter your consciousness. But here's the key. The quicker you assume responsibility, the quicker you have your freedom. Because I cannot make Krusula's life work, but I can support her and her life working. And as soon as she doesn't think I'm the fault, she can do something about it. The second that you think she's the problem, you're in trouble. But the second you realize, oh, it's mine, freedom. Freedom finds you right in the midst of your self-responsibility. Right smack in the midst of your self-responsibility. That's where your freedom is, and that is where your power is. I promise you that. I'm going to skip. Joe, can you skip? There is a beautiful piece of work. It's called The Sermon by the Sea. If you have never read it, write it down. Look it up online. It is now in the public domain, so it's now fully in print online. Sermon by the Sea. It was the last talk that Ernest Holmes gave at Asilomar in 1959. It was his charge to us. You find me 1,000 people in the world who know what religious science is and use it fully and live it as it is fully, and I'll myself live to see a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth here. Imagine simply 1,000 people willing to never place blame. Imagine 1,000 people who would remember fully, completely, remember to live from the inside out and not be distracted. 1,000 people who work completely faithfully. 1,000 people who do not take things personally. 1,000 people who know that the power of their word and the use of that word is how we create the world. The way that we do this is we keep remembering, I accept my good, I accept responsibility, I accept my power, I accept my prosperity, I accept my love, I accept my health, I accept my creativity, I allow myself to be used, to be lifted, to inspired. If you leave here with nothing else but I accept and I allow, and you use them over and over and over again, you will cultivate the consciousness. You will open up the filtering system to allow Spirit to fully avail itself to you. And you get to do that while being extremely ordinary and extraordinary. See, both exist. They exist in each other. And the reason why I say ordinary is because what matters most to us is the world at large and people and others, just the term others. If what matters most to us is about others, then when we're in this situation where we can shine, we want them to be the ones shining. And I tell my practitioners this when they go through their training. If at the end of a practitioner session, the client thinks you're great, that's okay. But if the client thinks the teaching's great, wow. Because then they realize they've activated it. My job is to turn you back to you on a regular basis. To practice what we learned last week is that term, tat tuam asi. Remember that? Say it. Tat tuam asi, which is I am that thou art. Remember that? And so if I am doing that with you and you're into, oh, Reverend Michelle, uh-uh. No. I am that thou art. There is no power in me that is greater than or more available to me than it is in you. And it is key. I mean, I'm human. I love standing up here. I love your love. I love the whole thing. But it can't be about me. It can't be about Michael Beckwith. It can't be about August Gold. It can't be about Reverend Joel. It's got to be, are we teaching you how to utilize the teaching so in the dark moments of your night when you're scared or you're having an alone moment, you know where to turn? That's how we come out. I need you to be all you can be. I need each one of you to be truly magnificent to the very best of your ability. When I say I, and I don't really mean I mean if we collectively want this teaching to grow and we want to benefit the world, what we need to do is be who we are. Right? You with me with that? That's what we're here to do. You are here to shine. You are here to be in your beauty and your strength. I forget too. You know, Seth has been home for over a week and he's doing really well, by the way. But there's been some cranky moments on his part and my part. To be perfectly honest, you know, I'm home, I'm feeling like a slug, you know, because I need to be there for him yet until he's up and around and moving completely on his own. So I've been in the house a lot more than I'm used to, and it makes me appreciate working a lot. And, you know, and just the activity that I have in my life. I love being busy, and I love the activity of ministry. But there was a little period in there that I was getting a little distracted by my own self-imposed misery. And when I realized that I was just misdirected and I was paying attention to the wrong thing, I had to pull my attention to where I needed it to be. See, we all have to do this work every day. So, Ernest Holmes' most quotable quote is, change your thinking, change your life. And that thinking is the thinking of the mind, but it's also the thinking of the heart. So if we're going to come out, we're going to come out together. And we're going to come out as individuals. And we're going to come out, please utilize the teaching. Utilize prayer. Utilize the practitioners. Get into the books. Do the studying. And the way we're going to support you is that we have decided, we being Reverend Joel and myself, that you are going to get an entire summer of Ernest Holmes. We're teaching nothing but Holmes all summer long from all of his different textbooks. Okay? And he has one textbook, but of his other works. So even my practitioners, I have to remember to tell you all that we need homes in all of our readings. And what's going to happen is we're actually going to provide you with homework if you want to like take it home and do some self-study. And so some of the stuff will be like workshoppy. And on June 12th, Reverend Joel is going to start it. He's going to launch it with the history of New Thought. So that afternoon, you're going to get a little bit about really where the history of this teaching, which is a really, you know, just a very, very cool thing. But all summer long, you are going to find out why it is that some of us think that Ernest Holmes is, you know, is all that. You had your hand raised. Well, it's one textbook that they redid. I thought you wanted to say something. Yeah. So we're going to bring that to you to the very best of our ability. You're going to sign up today for outreach if you're interested. And the other thing is, everybody knows Ed. Okay, and wave your hand. Just so you, he has had a little change in his personnel within his team, and so he could use another support system. And also, Joe Schneider, stand up, Joe. Joe is there representing Joan Granda today. She's in the children's room with the baby, with her grandson, Nicholas. And Joe's there representing PowerPoint people. Right now, if we don't get power with somebody, one or two other people offering support with the PowerPoint, you're not having it for the rest of the summer, and I'm not so sure if we're going to go back to it. We need some help. And you're it. You are the pool of support. And Andrea, could you stand for a moment, representing just the sound and recording? That's the other thing, too. Many of you enjoy the CDs and you like getting them. If we don't get some support and some additional volunteers, that will no longer be available. So it's upon y'all. It's upon you. It's not a big commitment. They'll take a once-a-month support. They'll take once a month. So please consider that, because this teaching is where we depend upon each other, we lean into each other, we support each other, and that's not just on the personal, that's here at the center. So please get yourself involved, please, please, please. And any of your new members too, there are definitely places that if you haven't signed up yet, there's a number of places for you to support the center. So let's take a hand, someone next to us, and let's support and anchor what we have just said. And let's begin with, I accept, I allow. I accept my good and greater good. I allow the power of God through me. I am willing to be fully ordinary, which leads to me being extraordinary. I trust that there is one life. That life is the life of God. That life is my life now. I accept my good and greater good. I allow myself to be prospered. I allow myself to be healthy. I allow myself to be loved. For I am love itself. For this good, I am grateful. I surrender this word. And so it is.
Woo!
That was nice.